Yes, so welcome to our service this morning. It's great to have you with us. Just to say that if it's your first time with us, if you're visiting, then welcome, and we hope you feel welcome this morning. And please do, after the service, come and have a chat, and we have some welcome packs that we like to give out as well, that just gives you a bit of information about us. Hopefully, weather permitting, next week we will be here again, and we have baptisms next week. Who is actually getting baptised? Hiri and Charles are getting baptised. Right, brilliant. So, as I say, hopefully we'll be here again, and that will be the last time that we're outdoors, and then we'll be back at Porton Rovers the week after that. Okay, so later this morning, John Cooper will be speaking. And he's going to be speaking on the theme for today, which is, you can't spell community without unity. Now turn to your neighbour and tell them that you can't spell community without unity. Now, I don't know what Bible translation you prefer. I have to say that my go-to is generally the NIV. Just shout out some of your favourite translations so we get a feel of what people are reading. ESB, the Living Bible, New Living Translation. Any advances on New Living Translation? NASB, oh, the Message, yeah. Okay, so there's loads, aren't there? We have an incredible number of different translations in our language. It's kind of almost overwhelming, I think, sometimes. And I checked out with the Wycliffe Bible Translators website the other day. And these figures that I'm going to quote you now are from September 21, so they're fairly recent. And they estimate that 1 in 5 people are still waiting for the Bible, 7,378 spoken languages altogether. And from those, 717 have the full Bible, 1,582 have the New Testament, 1,196 have some portions of Scripture translated in their language, and then 2,899 have some active translation going on. But then there are 3,383 languages that still have no scripture at all. It's kind of incredible, isn't it, to think how many we have. We've just mentioned a few, and yet there are still many, many languages still waiting to be translated, and it's a huge, huge task. So, you know, it's great to pray for people like Wycliffe that do Bible translations. They're doing a phenomenal work. One of the translations I use is the Passion Translation. And the other day I discovered Psalm 139. I don't think I'd ever read it before in the Passion, but I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I'm going to read some of that now, not all of it, some of it. And I would just want to invite you to close your eyes and just allow the words from this psalm just to really penetrate your hearts and allow Jesus to maybe make it real for us today. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. You have laid your hand on me. This is just too wonderful, deep and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me, for your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your presence, for your glory that fills the heaven and the earth, and that you fill our hearts with as much as we will give to you. We thank you that there is no end to the joy and the purpose that you want to bring into our lives. Often we are the barrier that can stop that. Jesus, we cannot escape you. Wherever we go, you are there. And you desire our attention and our affection. Forgive us when we cast you aside and are seduced by all that the world can offer in place of you. Fill our senses with your presence this morning and bring comfort to our souls as we meet with you in our worship. Tear down the barriers this morning that exist in our hearts and in our minds and invade this place with your presence and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that we can meet together here as a community of believers, but also as part of this wider community here in Midsummer Norton. Lord, I pray for Jonathan as he shares what you have put on his heart for us today. Lord, would you please give us soft hearts, open ears that are able just to tune in to what you might be saying to us, whether you want to challenge us, encourage us, just help us to have more courage in the community in which we live. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us, that we would know that we've been spoken to you this morning and that we would do something with it, not just go away and forget about it, but we do something with it. And we pray for Jonathan now. Lord, we pray that you would anoint him. We thank you for the preparation that he has put in to this word this morning. And we pray that you would just fill him now with your Holy Spirit as he shares with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. But to start with, what I'd like to do is just ask you all a question and see if you can answer it for me. Can somebody tell me things that grow on trees? Just shout it out. Oranges, did somebody say? Apples? Yeah, what else? What was that? Money, yeah. Ivy, yeah. Lots of fruit people shouting. But lichen, yeah, lichen grows on trees. But predominantly, people think that fruit grows on trees, don't we? And this morning, what I want to do is challenge that notion as to whether fruit really does grow on trees. You think I've lost it, don't you? We're going to share this morning, we're going to be talking, as Sally said, about community. And we're going to just explore a bit about that and a notion that we're designed to be community beings. We were created by God to be in community with each other and with him. That in community we thrive, community we're fruitful, in community we are the very best because that's what God made us to be. And so I want to share and think about that and about how as being community we can be effective and fully God's sons and daughters, his children, that he so wants to be out in the world proclaiming his glory. So I thought to start with, we ought to just think about what we understand by the word community. What does that word actually mean? Because I think most of us would say it's usually a group of people with a common interest, a community. I think that's kind of a fairly common thing. It also, the word community, I think more and more is used to invoke this idea of security and homeliness and coziness even, a bit nostalgic. People talk, you know, we get presented in the media, don't we, about the community policeman, because it sounds a lot better than your local law enforcement officer. It's just a little bit more cozy and cuddly, isn't it, than that? But the real meaning, actually, of community is something different. I was really surprised when I kind of discovered this and really excited about it, because community means together to serve. And that's good, isn't it? Because that sounds an awful lot like church. Together to serve. That's what community is. That's what it makes us into, because we are a community. And it also made me think, you know, that we're probably pretty rare in the world as a group of people who are truly community, who are called together to serve. It's a thing that our world is broken by, I think. The loss of community in our world has been so damaging. It is so apparent everywhere we look how the world is becoming fragmented and depersonalized because there is no community. I wonder whether part of the whole thing of loss of community is linked to the kind of the disintegration of churches across the country, because that group of people with that solid concept of community, of together serving, has been lost. It's a sad thing, you know, and the consequences to the world are horrendous. I think we all feel a bit isolated and lonely from time to time. But, you know, 3.5 million people in this country have acute feelings of isolation, loneliness, you know, having no direction, a darkness in their life, not knowing where they're going, feeling that nobody can even hear them scream. That's what's happened through a loss of community. People are just broken, and we don't function well in isolation. Just look at the online community where, you know, people sit by themselves at their computers. Look at the hatred and the pain that is thrown out of that, where people are just working by themselves, not in community. We were designed, as I said, to be in community. That's what God intended for us. Jesus said, "For I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you're going to produce great fruit." No, not great fruit, but you know what I mean. My translation of the Bible. You're going to produce a huge amount of fruit, but with it outside of me, you're going to do nothing. Absolutely nothing. And that's a truth, isn't it? We believe that to be true. That in Christ, we are going to do amazing things. But the profound thing about that statement is it's all about being in with him, in community with him, but also with each other. We work together in him. This is not a one-man show. This is not just my relationship with Jesus. It's about us all together. And we have seen through generations that where the church is effective and together, it can do incredible things. It can change world. It can change countries. And I think that that's what God is calling us to be, a church that can change a community, because we're one together with each other and with him in community. And I think the other thing that with community that we have in Jesus is that we're not... it's not just something we're associated, we belong to it. And I think that there's such a profound strength in that. In a world where things are quite transient and you're not kind of owned, you don't have an ownership, a feeling of ownership in many things in the world. We belong in community with God. He calls us in as sons and daughters to be in community with him. The thing that really struck me about that truth was that, you know, if you think of club, you know, a club or a society or a group of people, they usually have a set of rules that you've got to kind of abide by, or they're going to kick you out to keep the riffraff out. You know, you have a set of rules that you have to, or you have a pre-qualification that you have to achieve a certain thing to be acceptable in that community. In the kingdom of God, you've just got to bend the knee before Jesus and say, "I need you. I can't do this on my own." That's the qualification that we need. You know, we're not even invited. There's a sign there saying, you are invited. I would argue with that. No, it's a brilliant sign. But it's more than an invitation. We're called. We're chosen. How good is that? You know, that we're actually called by the King. Not just some passive invitation that will be nice if you came along. Or you'd be accepted if you rock up, you know? No, it's a different thing altogether. It is, you are wanted. There is a space for you here. There's a place for you here. This is where you're meant to be. Oh, how good is that? In a world that is disconnected, what a lovely, brilliant, beautiful thought that could only come from the person who designed it. And you know, as soon as we get into that relationship, fruit will start to flow, because that's where how Jesus works. It's not that we can start producing stuff, but it's because we're connected to the root, because we're connected to Him and each other. It's the natural consequence. It's not something we fight to go and come up with a brilliant scheme to come and, you know, gather many people to the church or whatever. It's nothing like that. It's a natural consequence, in the same way that an apple tree will produce an apple if it's watered particularly, so will we produce fruit if we are connected to each other and to Jesus. I don't know where you are with that this morning and where you feel you are with your connection to the community, God's kingdom community that we are, or where you're connected even to God Himself. Do you think, perhaps do you feel disconnected from God Himself, even in that He perhaps is silent in your life? Perhaps you feel that He's given up on you. Perhaps He's stopped talking to you. That's what you might feel, you know. It could be that He's saying the same thing about you. Stop talking to me. You know, I've challenged myself on this as much as anybody. But when was the last time you spent 10 minutes reading, you know, a few words of scripture and actually just sitting and listening to God in those words? Just 10 minutes. And I'm not saying every day. I'm talking about in the last 6 months, have you done that? And we're not, you know, we're dealing with the creator of the universe. And we talk about Him not speaking to us. I think He's ringing the phone and I think we're not picking it up. We've got to start picking it up and then we'll hear from Him. He doesn't want to be silent in our lives. He wants to be fruitful in our lives. And in the same way, you know, if we struggle with community, perhaps there have been hurts in your church life. Perhaps you've kind of had experiences which have damaged you, you feel. And that mean that there's like a barrier between you being able to be absorbed into church life and be fully functional because of some previous hurt. I suggest you've got to start listening to His voice, not your own voice in your own spirit. Because your own voice is a barrier that is holding you back. We have to get over ourselves and forgive. Because fundamentally, if you think about it, most of us here know the salvation, the Spirit of God inside them. You know what that's like. But we're thwarting this move of the Spirit of God in this community because we're saying, oh, well, I'm a bit hurt and I don't want to do that. And I've done that before and it didn't work. Oh, come on. There are people out there who need to find Jesus. They need His love in their life. And if we're restricting it because of a hurt and a feeling, I'm sorry, I think we've missed something. And I think we've got to bow the knee and say, Jesus, this is about You. This is not about me anymore. And I know I'm hurt and I know, you know, I've messed up and there are hurts, but He will heal. He says He's the healer and He will. But we've got to step into Him. And if we step into Him, who knows what might happen? It could get really exciting, couldn't it? You know, fruit doesn't grow on trees. And it's true. You see, fruit will not grow on a withered old twig hanging on the end of a tree. It will be a dried up old bit of nothing. a bit like a bauble on a Christmas tree, you know. It looks really pretty, but it does absolutely nothing. It's useless. We're called to be connected to the root. We're called to be a part of the life of the tree. We're called to be right in it, not on it. That's where fruit grows, in the tree, not on the tree. And if we're in the tree, there's going to be some amazing, lush, chubby old fruit coming out, isn't there? And how good is that going to be, you know? God is going to do some incredible things with us. You know, I think that God is calling us today. He's not asking us and he's not inviting us as we sit here. If you don't know Jesus in your life, you know, please, you need to have a chat with somebody and soften your heart and open it, you know. But if you're here today finding yourself on the periphery of church thinking, oh, I can't get involved with this, it's a bit like this, it's a bit like that, you know, I think he's calling you to bend the knee and say, I'm coming back to my first love, Jesus. I come back and I'll do it on your terms, not my terms. Your way, not my way. And in that way, he is going to bring fruit. We will be everything that we are meant to be. We will fulfill his vision for us. We're going to be working on the way that he created us to be. And you know, if we're in God's will, all of a sudden the world may get harder, but it's, I tell you, it gets to be the place that it needs to be. As I said, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you will bear nothing. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would inspire us to see you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we would bend the knee before you even this morning and say, Lord, just show me where you want me. Lord, I pray that you would give us tenacity to get into your word, to be listening to your heartbeat, that we would understand what you want in our lives, that we don't just go on a presupposition that we think we know what's best. Lord, open our hearts, give us an integrity and an honesty to hear you, that you will be glorified. And in this community where you've called us to be, we're going to see amazing things. Lord, in your holy name, bless us. Amen. Thank you, everybody.
Jonathan, you were on fire.
Thank you.
You were on fire during that talk.
Thank you.
That was a really good talk. And you did it with no notes as well. How'd you do it? Very impressive.